tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 10th of June 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I said earlier in the week that we would have a look at David Lammy later on in the week, and we're going to do that today. And I was actually watching him being interviewed on Sunday by Laura Koonsberg when he made this point about Digwa, the Sikh, actually being a Brit. And I thought at the time, you know, I don't understand how he can make this argument. Surely he must understand that it really doesn't matter where you are actually born. It doesn't determine who you are. But I guess he's just looking at things as, well, he was born in Britain, he has a British citizen, therefore he must be a Brit. And of course he's not. He's an Indian man of Indian heritage. Whether he's born in Britain or not doesn't really matter. But David Lammy effectively just, I mean, he says what he's been taught. You've got to bear that in mind, that this is what he's been taught, that if somebody's born in Britain, that makes them British. Whether that does or not, I mean, it gives them a British passport, but it doesn't actually make them a British man or British woman. But he's been told that it does. And I guess he's got to the position that he's in because he does as he is told. And he also is very effective at advocating for black people. As I've pointed out before, though, some of the policies that he advocates for, he's been told they will be good for black people. But I can see ways that they would not be good for black people, particularly if you're not going to lock up violent black youth, because there are an overrepresentation of black youth that are locked up for violent crime. If you're not going to lock them up, then it just means that there's going to be more crimes carried out against other black people in the black community. David Lammy doesn't seem to see this, though, because he's been told that it means that there will be less black people locked up, and that's good, isn't it? Of course, it's not good if it means that you're going to end up being robbed or attacked by these people because they're not in prison. And of course, it's the black community that suffers the most from black crime. Now, he's being talked about today because of his response to this Novak killing. And I'm taking this article from Breitbart. It says, UK Deputy Prime Minister says equality before the law does not mean treating all ethnic groups the same. After Novak killing, well, doesn't it? You see, this is what they've done. They've said, well, equality must mean that everybody has an equal outcome. And to give everybody an equal outcome, you might have to treat people differently. And this is the logic that they are using. But that doesn't mean that means that you're no longer equal before the law, doesn't it? The law should be colorblind. That's why when you see the picture of Justice holding the scales, she has a blindfold on. Because she's not supposed to see a person. She's not supposed to see what colour somebody is, what race somebody is. Everybody is all supposed to be treated the same. I mean, that is a maxim of law that is essential to the Western justice system. But what we're saying now, because that ends up doing that, ends up with unequal outcomes, because it leads to a higher percentage of black people being jailed for violent crimes than white people being jailed, then surely there must be something wrong with that way of doing it. That, I mean, that's what they're saying. There's nothing wrong with doing things that way. What's wrong is the multicultural system that we live under. If you had a country that just had all black people in it, and then you treated everybody equal before the law, you would have the same outcomes, wouldn't you? Because everybody would be as a group, you'd be five times more likely to commit violent crime. And you would have a certain number of people that were in prison, and you would just say, well, that's because we have quite a lot of people that commit violent crimes. That's why we've got more of these people in prison. But because we have a multicultural system, and you also have white people that are less likely to commit violent crime, we look at it and say, well, this is unfair. There must be something wrong. There must be something wrong with the system, with our understanding of justice itself. Of course, it's not our understanding of justice that is at fault. It is our understanding of what a functioning society should look like. A functioning society is a homogenous society. Then you can have everybody treated the same, and the outcomes are all equal because everybody is the same, because they're all part of the same ethnic group. British Deputy Prime Minister David Lammy has said that not all ethnic groups should be treated the same by police in the wake of the murder of 18-year-old Henry Novak, who died in police handcuffs after officers refused to believe he had been stabbed by a Sikh man. Now, the reason why this happened is because he wasn't treated as the same as if it had been a white person. If it had been a white person there and they said, oh, well, this other white person said something racist to me, and then the other white person says, I've been stabbed, I think the police would have gone to look at the person that had been stabbed rather than investigated accusations of racism. So quite clearly, because people were not being treated equally, because the Sikh was not treated equally to the white person, because of that, the white person died in police custody. So quite clearly, that's an example of the worst that can happen when you don't treat people equally. So I don't understand why David Lammy doesn't see that. I guess it's because he's had his head soaked in all of this anti-racist propaganda, and he's been told that it's good to not treat all ethnic groups the same, and that black people have to be treated differently to ensure this equality of outcome. As I say, the end result of that is more black victims of crime because you have less black criminals in prison. Lammy, who also serves as the left-wing Labour Party government's justice secretary, said that while the starting point should be equality before the law, it is not always appropriate to be treated the same, noting the disproportionate arrest rates of certain ethnic minority groups such as Roma travellers, gypsies, and black Britons. So, I mean, he is saying this, isn't he? He is saying, well, you have to treat them differently because otherwise you'll end up with more black people being arrested and more Roma being arrested. Well, the answer to that is, well, why do we have more men being arrested than women? Because men are more likely to commit crimes. Why do you have more blacks arrested than whites? Well, because blacks are more likely to commit crimes. It's certainly not because the police force are racist. And this is why he's saying that there needs to be a different way of treating these people. You know, I honestly think that if I was to sit down with David Lammy and have a talk with him, I think at the end of the conversation, he'd be thinking along the same lines as myself, because these policies, they just harm black people. They harm the black community, and they harm the gypsy community as well, because you've got more criminal types amongst the gypsies because they're not in prison anymore because of these policies. And to have the head of the Justice Department in Britain, I mean, he is the Justice Secretary, not understanding that, is quite a problem. But I think if I was to write to him, I doubt whether he would even read it or it would even get to him. But as I say, I think if I was to sit down and talk to him, I think he would come out from that conversation seeing things in a similar way that I do. He said, we are all equal before the law, so that is not the starting point, but it is the case, recognising that in our country it is still the case that on arrest, prosecution and conviction, I'm afraid in our prisons, ethnic minorities are disproportionately represented in the criminal justice system. Yes, but why is that? I mean, we can look at these figures, and they have looked at the figures. They've looked in America, they looked at the conviction rate, and they measured that against the victims' reporting of crime rate. And it was both the same. So there were victims reporting they had been attacked by black people. There were black people reporting they had been attacked by black people. And the number of people that reported that correlated with the number of black people that have been put in prison. So it wasn't that false accusations were being made, wasn't that the police were being racist, because you actually, it was the same number. I mean, it would have been a different number, wouldn't it? If the police were being racist, then you would have different numbers. It wouldn't be equal numbers for the victims of crime as well as the people that have been prosecuted for crime. There would be a discrepancy there. There would be less people reporting black criminals and more black criminals in prison if it wasn't correct. If black people were being jailed incorrectly when they hadn't actually committed these crimes, then when they do a survey of the victims of crimes, they wouldn't say, well, this crime happened to me and it was a black person that did it. So it is possible for us to look at the statistics and come up with a different answer to this than the one that he is coming up with. He says, so context can matter, but it cannot eclipse violence or the fact that we need our police to act to mitigate and to deal with crimes in our communities, whatever the colour of your skin or background, he told the BBC's Laura Koonsberg on Saturday. So he say, I'm afraid in our prisons, ethnic minorities are disproportionately represented, but crimes still have to be dealt with in our communities, whatever the colour of your skin or background. So, but in order to do that, you would have to treat people equally. And what he is saying is that people should not be treated equally. The BBC presenter put to Lammy the guidance from the National Police Chiefs Council on its anti-racism policy, which states, our commitment to racial equity, that's equity, not equality, means producing equality of policing outcomes for people from different ethnic groups. It does not mean treating everyone the same or being colourblind, racial equality. This is the important thing, is it's talking about the policing outcomes. It's talking about the statistics, the number of black people that are in prison. The leftist government minister denied that this meant that there was not equality before the law, stating that the complexity is that equality does not always necessarily mean the same, and that it is important to understand that context can be different for different groups. So what he's saying there is, the context is that some groups are disproportionately represented in prison. If everybody is all the same, if we're all equal, then that must mean that some people are being sent to prison unnecessarily. And therefore, we have to get these numbers down. This is the root of the problem. It's just a refusal to, or maybe not even a refusal. It's probably hasn't even seen the evidence. He probably hasn't even seen the evidence that shows that black people are more likely to commit crimes, that ethnic group are just more crime prone. I mean, all you would really have to do is look at the crime statistics in Africa and measure them up with the crime statistics in the multicultural countries. Do black people commit the same level of crime when they're among the black community as they do when they're among the white community? I think they probably find that actually there's probably less crime that actually take place in these multicultural countries. And if there is more that takes place, then you can say, well, that's probably because the police force are more effective in white countries. There are always arguments for something and arguments against something. And I think one of the problems that we have today is that we only ever see one set of arguments as far as race is concerned. The way that David Lammy is looking at it here, I don't think he's heard the other arguments. I don't think anybody has said to him, well, what about when you did your David Lammy report and you looked at crime rates and you said that this shows that there's racism, why didn't you have a control group there? For instance, why didn't you look at the number of black crimes that take place in South Africa and see whether there's a higher percentage of or the same percentage of people that commit crimes in black South Africa as the percentage of the black community that commit crimes in Britain? Now, that's the sort of thing that needs doing to be able to say, well, whether this is a problem that is unique to the black community or whether this is a problem that's caused by white racism. I mean, that would be all you would have to do, is just look at the percentage of the population in South Africa that also carry out these violent crimes or that carry out stabbings, for instance, or murders. And we know that South Africa is one of the highest crime spots in the world. So surely that seems to imply that if we have black people in prison, in most cases, it's because they should be in prison. And don't forget, we have all of these policies to not put them in prison. I mean, judges are told to look at somebody's background when they're actually coming up with a sentence, and bear in mind that blacks are disproportionately represented in the prison system. Bear in mind that the person in the dock before you might have been the victim of racism. They're to weigh all these things up when they actually give them a sentence in the first place. So they're less likely to get a sentence as it is. Yet we still have this disproportionality. As I say, and that implies to me that in the same way that men are more likely to carry out crimes than women, black people are more likely to carry out crimes than white people. And you can say Japanese and Chinese are less likely to carry out crimes than white people. It's just one of a massive number of statistics that correlate with somebody's self-identified race. Lammy, who has long been at the forefront of pushing racialized politics in Britain, as I say, it's like he's a black nationalist. I mean, he's really concerned about black people. He wants to do the best for black people. That's a good thing. I just think that he hasn't been given all the information necessary in order to do that, to the best outcomes of the black community. I think he just sort of repeats what he's been told to say by these anti-racist groups. Lammy said that now he does not believe that police are institutionally racist in the country, claiming that the UK has moved on from that period. And of course, the Conservative Party did do a study into that to see whether the police were institutionally racist. And the end result of that study was that no, they are not institutionally racist. There are individual racists, but there are no institutions in modern Britain that are institutionally racist. And that's correct. So they really don't need to have all of these diversity, inclusion and equity policies, because nobody is saying we're not going to employ you because you're black. I mean, people might be saying we're not going to employ you because you don't have the qualifications. And that's a different matter. And that's what this DEI is sort of compensating for. If somebody doesn't have the qualifications, so they're not going to get the job. DEI says, well, you should give them the job anyway, because they probably don't have those qualifications because of systemic racism, poverty, all these other things that black people suffer from. So in order to have equity, you need to give them the job anyway. And that's effectively what diversity, equity and inclusion is. It's just giving people positions that are unearned, that they don't actually have them by merit. They just have them by dint of the fact that they are an ethnic minority. He also rejected the notion that there is two-tier policing in which ethnic and religious minorities are treated with special dispensation, often at the expense of the native populations. Well, before this Henry Novak case, one of the most egregious examples of two-tier policing was just to look at the treatment of the protesters after the Southport massacre and compare that with the treatment of the protesters in Black Lives Matter after the murder of George Floyd, when the police were all getting down on their knees. And the head of the Labour Party, Keir Starmer, was getting down on his knees. And he has the cheek now to say that this murder of Henry Novak should not be politicised. Well, what was he doing getting down on his knees when George Floyd died in police custody? That was entirely politicised. And the people that carried out the riots then, they were referred to as protesters. When they damaged public property, they were not prosecuted. And yet we have, I think we have 14 people, maybe more than that so far, that have been arrested to do with these protests in Southampton that took place at the weekend. You've got somebody being told that they could get 3 to 5 years for throwing a traffic cone. Yet in Black Lives Matter, you had protesters literally lynching a public statue, dragging it down, dragging it across the road by ropes and throwing it into the river. No punishment whatsoever. I mean, what's more serious? Just destroying public property like that or throwing a traffic cone? That's an example of two-tier policing. David Lammy apparently doesn't see it. Lammy's response was rejected by Reform UK Shadow Home Secretary Zia Youssef, who said on Sunday that he believes the police are institutionally racist against white people, citing the NPCC policy guidance as evidence. The only way we can ensure that we do not have another situation like the tragedy of Henry's death is through political means, Youssef told the BBC. That's why we are going to continue to make the argument. And nobody is going to guilt trip us into not making these arguments. And I have to admit, Nigel Farage has been very good about this. And Robert Jenrick. You had Robert Jenrick, the former Conservative minister who brought all the Afghans into the country. He was in the Houses of Parliament the other day asking Shabnam Mahmood, the Labour Home Secretary, to say that white lives matter. And the fact that they were bringing that into public discourse after telling us that we were all far-right thugs for using the term white lives matter is excellent. You had Nigel Farage saying that this unrest will continue until you address this two-tier policing. Until you get that sorted out, people are not going to trust the police and there is likely to be more trouble. And the whole of the Houses of Parliament, all the people behind him, were shouting and jeering at him and demanding that he condemn the protests, the Henry Novak protests, and he refused. And I have to give him credit for that. They were both very good. It's surprising to see how good they were. So now we have Youssef as well, who I think is their shadow Home Secretary, Zia Youssef. Now he's saying that we have to prevent another of these tragedies and we have to stop this two-tier policing. So it looks like the whole party are united upon this. And it's these police guidelines, that's what's at fault. But you have to go back further than that. You can go back to the Equality Act, Tony Blair's Equality Act. That's what put the onus on these public institutions, that they all had to be promoting diversity. And then you can also look at the fact that none of this would even be needed if it wasn't for this disastrous policy of the post-war government of importing people from foreign nations, basically, from different races and different ethnicities. If they weren't here in the first place, we wouldn't have all of this two-tier policing nonsense going on, trying to provide equality of outcomes, because everybody would be equal. I mean, that was the whole point of the Declaration of Rights in America, where it said we hold this to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And at the time, black people were not regarded as men. They weren't regarded as citizens. They were slaves. So what it actually meant was, it is self-evident that all white men are created equal to one another. And I would say it's also self-evident that all black men are created equal to one another. But you're not going to realise that all white people are equal to one another unless you are actually juxtaposed with another racial group. Because otherwise you would say, oh yes, well, the French are quite clearly different to the Germans and the Welsh are quite clearly different to the Irish. But as soon as you put another type of human being there, as soon as you put like the black race there, then you can say, well, all of these Germans and Welsh and Irish and English, they're all white and they're all equal to one another because they are white, in the same way that all the black people are equal together because they are black. So the point I'm making is, if you have a homogenous society, everybody's equal in the first place. Everybody's equal because they're all part of the same ethnicity. They all share the same ancestry. It's only when you start putting in other ethnic groups and having multiculturalism that you suddenly get an unequal society without an equality of outcome, because you don't have an equality of ethnicity in the first place. There's no natural equality between peoples in the first place because they all come from different racial groups. Justice Secretary Lammy also rejected comments from US Vice President J.D. Vance, who blamed Novak's death on the mass migration. He should still be alive today, and he would be if the last few generations of European elites had stood to their ground against the politics of self-hatred and the mass invasion of migrants, many of whom despise the West and the people who love it, Vance remarked on Friday. Well, he's correct, isn't he? If it wasn't for migration, we wouldn't have any Sikhs in the country. If it wasn't for mass migration, there wouldn't be any Indians in the country, or Pakistanis, or Bangladeshis, or Africans, Somalians. You wouldn't have these people in the country. So all of these people that have been the victims of somebody of migrant heritage, they'd all still be alive, wouldn't they? Henry would be alive if it wasn't for the government's previous migration policy. Lamy, who was born in Britain to Guyanese migrant parents, so he's of Guyanese ethnicity and heritage, rejected this analysis by the vice president, proclaiming that the murder of Novak Vikram Digwar was a Brit. Despite his mother immigrating to the country from India, Lamy argued that Vikram's crimes had nothing to do with mass migration. I mean, it's incredible that he could think that. I think he probably genuinely thinks that. He genuinely thinks that if somebody is born in Britain, then they no longer have any migrant heritage. And obviously, that's nonsense, and we can see that's nonsense, but I don't think David Lammy can see that it's nonsense, because he just repeats what he's been told to repeat. It's quite clearly to do with migration, because the person was of migrant heritage. And yet he thinks it's this massive gotcha to say, well, he was born in Britain, so he's a Brit. As I say so many times, if I was born in a barn, it wouldn't make me a horse. The Deputy Prime Minister, who is said to have struck a friendship with Vance, despite their political divisions, said that during a recent phone conversation, he told Vance that he thought it was wrong, he was wrong, about the case. And I say, I can believe that he has a friendship with Vance. I mean, they have different political views. You know, in the past, we used to have friendships across the political divide. There would be people that were right-wing people that would be friends with left-wing people. It wasn't seen as that important. I mean, what you had in common with somebody is that you're all human beings. You all want the best for your people. So say David Lammy wants the best for black people. That's absolutely fine. I want the best for white people, and yet I'm called a racist and a white supremacist for doing so. It doesn't mean that I resent David Lammy for his black nationalism. I mean, I support his black nationalism. I just wish that white nationalism was also supported. So I can believe that he is a friend with J.D. Vance. As I say, I quite happily sit there and have a debate with David Lammy. And I think at the end of it, he would come out of it supporting a lot of my viewpoints. David Lammy said, I told him he was wrong. Now, we had an agreeable conversation, but we've disagreed. We've disagreed before on his perspective on Western civilization. I don't recognise that perspective. And actually, Western civilization has always been open to the world, whether it was the Byzantine world or the Levant world. The Silk Road has always influenced Western civilization, so I don't agree with his caricature, he said. Well, the Byzantine world was all white, wasn't it? The Eastern Orthodox, the Russians, Balkans. The Levant world was all white, pretty much until the advent of Islamism. And the Silk Road has always been Chinese. It hasn't been Indians or black Africans or South Sudanese. So there's a big difference there. And that was with traders. I mean, the only group there that isn't white is the Silk Road. And you would have traders that would go along the Silk Road. They'd pick something up in Britain and they would take it back to China. They wouldn't move to Britain. They wouldn't move to Europe. So his example there of Britain always being open to the world and mass migration, it's not mass migration, is it? Having contact with the Byzantine world, the contact with the Levantine world, and contact with the Silk Road is not mass migration. Separately, Lammy told Sky News' Trevor Phillips on Sunday that he urged Vance to refrain from commenting on internal British affairs, despite Lammy, Sir Keir Starmer, and other leading Labour figures all using the death of George Floyd in the United States as political fodder, with many, including Prime Minister Starmer, publicly taking the knee in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. I've seen people on Twitter that are saying we should be pressurising the police to take the knee for Henry Novak. and get them to do that. Otherwise, things are unequal. And yeah, I guess that could be a good idea if it works and you can actually get them to do that. But I would worry that by taking a knee and getting down on one knee, you would look like you were supporting Black Lives Matter. I mean, that's the only problem with that. Visually, you just look as if you're supporting Black Lives Matter rather than you are supporting Henry Novak. In a 2021 video, Lamy said, "George Floyd looked like me. He could have been me. That's why his death reverberated around the world. People said none of us can breathe while we still face the issues of structural racism in our lives every day." And this is why I say I think David Lamy is misinformed. I mean, just because he looks like George Floyd, that doesn't mean that that could have been him. David Lamy, I think, is Harvard educated. George Floyd was a fentanyl addicted porno star, and he was dying of a drug overdose when he was arrested. Now, I can't see David Lamy dying of a drug overdose. David Lamy doesn't strike me as the sort of person that's likely to take drugs in the first place. So, no, it could not have been David Lamy. But he's been told to just see things through this anti-racist lens, and that the police were just going after George Floyd because he was black, even though there was no evidence of that whatsoever. I think the guy that was found guilty of his murder, I mean, he had a non-white wife. And the reason why they were found guilty is because the whole city was under the threat of being burned down if they didn't actually find him guilty, because the evidence of the autopsy report showed that his death was from drug overdose, not from the police. Yes, he died in police custody. The reason why George Floyd was lying on the ground isn't because the police put him there. He wanted to get there on the ground. He was saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." That's why he got down and lay down on the ground. And the reason why he couldn't breathe is because he was having a fentanyl overdose, because he swallowed all his drugs the minute he thought he was going to be arrested. And the police officer put his knee on his neck in a restraining position to stop him from being able to get up and fight back effectively. And that's part of police procedure, is to put your knee there. It's taught to them by the Israelis. So no, David Lamy is wrong to think that that could have been him. It wouldn't have been him. David Lamy took choices, made choices in his life that led to him being where he is today. George Floyd took choices in his life that led him to be where he was, ended up dying of a drug overdose. That's the difference. Doesn't matter what race he is. That isn't the reason why George Floyd died. He didn't die because he was black. When you look at the case of Henry Novak, he died because it looks like he may have died because the police failed to provide a first aid to him. And why did they not provide first aid to him? Because they'd been told he was a racist. That's effectively why. So it's very different. Lamy attempted to make the distinction on Sunday that his comments were made when the Labour Party was out of government, and therefore they do not carry the same weight as those made by the Vice President. Yes, well, you could say that's an argument. That's a reasonable thing to say. The word games continued as Lamy insisted there was a distinction between the righteous anger he expressed after George Floyd's death, and that's in quote marks, that righteous anger, and the rage expressed by Reform UK leader Nigel Farage. And Nigel Farage actually said cold, hard rage. He didn't say hot rage. He didn't say become heated, inflame the situation. He said cold, hard rage. I think he was quite calculated in the term that he used. But David Lamy insisted there was a distinction between the righteous anger which he expressed after George Floyd's death and the rage expressed by Reform UK leader Nigel Farage after Henry Novak's death, which he claimed was out of the bounds of political acceptability. So it's fine for him to say righteous anger, but it's not okay for Nigel Farage to say cold rage. I would have thought both terms are quite similar, although I did question Nigel Farage when he said that. I mean, I don't really think we should be encouraging people to feel rage. We don't want to inflame the situation. We don't want to incite people. And I really find it difficult to believe that people do actually get incited by politicians. They're always claiming that because of things the Conservative Party said, that incites the far right to violence. It's nonsense. People are responsible for their own actions. Regardless of what other people say, you are responsible for your own actions. And we should be encouraging people to have self-discipline. And if we get upset about something, angry about something, not to act in haste. That would be a better advice, I think, than telling people to express their righteous anger or express their rage. Tell people to have some self-discipline and control that anger and control that rage into something positive, making changes. Go out and peacefully protest and put pressure on the government to stop the two-tier policing. Now, that's good advice. That's the sort of advice that you will hear from Mark Collette or that you will hear from myself. Anyway, as I say, I'm sure this won't be the last time that we've talked about David Lammy. And the reason really why I'm talking about it today is because I did watch this interview on Sunday. And I did think when he said, oh, he was a Brit, as if that was a gotcha. The fact that his mother gave birth to him on British soil, that meant somehow that he wasn't of migrant heritage. I mean, it is just a nonsense argument. And I'm sure that if I could sit down in a room with David Lammy for half an hour or an hour, I'm sure that at the end of it, he would come out supportive of a lot of my views. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.